If you would, turn to your Bibles to Proverbs in chapter 2 through 4 is what we're going to look at tonight. And, you know, just like Justin this morning, I had Brother David about 2 hours ago asked me to, you know, come and speak and share some things. And so I was gladly to jump right on it and have the opportunity to speak to you, give you some encouragement tonight. And I always enjoy open up the Word of God and sharing the wisdom of God with you. There's no wisdom in me, but I tell you, this Word that we are reading about is living and it's breathing and has a lot of wisdom to it. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, is just the world of wisdom. And so in Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to look at three chapters here tonight. And in these three chapters, here in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 2, 3, and 4, this book here in these chapters contain one key verse in it. And so what I want to do is I want to look at these three main verses, pick apart the verses, look at it, and hope that it is going to be a blessing to your life. I know it was to mine, but here in the book of Proverbs, we know the author. Very familiar with the author right here, and it is nobody else than King Solomon. King Solomon being the author, penned these words down, being one of the richest men of his time, and being the wealthiest man of his time, asked God of one thing. Asked God that he would bless him and give him wisdom. And so Solomon asked him for those things. God gave him wisdom above anybody else during his day. One of the wealthiest men, one of the smartest men of his day, and not only that, but for all time throughout this world that we live in. But one thing that amazes me is that James chapter 1 verse 5 says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. In fact, that is one of my main things that I ask for God to give me. It's on my prayer list, and as I talk to God every single day, I go through my prayer list that I have, the main things that I need in my own spiritual life, and I ask God to give me wisdom. I think that every pastor, every preacher ought to ask God for wisdom. Because how can he lead a church, how can he lead a flock, if he is not filled with God's wisdom? And so here, let's talk about tonight the world of wisdom. But let me tell you this, that roads and paths are always created for direction. If you notice that here at 2A, it is paved out and was created so that we could get down to I-75, or we could choose to go on down to Ringgold, Georgia. And so roads and paths are created for your direction. Whichever direction a person wants to go, that path, the road will take them there, wherever they want to go. Me and my wife, Heather, we enjoy the outdoors a lot, enjoy hiking and fishing and hunting and doing all those sort of things together. I know most women don't do that, but, you know, I've kind of been able to get my wife to join in those things with me. And so she enjoys hiking and doing all that sort of stuff with me. And a couple of months ago, right when it was getting one of the first Saturdays, it was real warm outside, felt beautiful, you know, it was beautiful outside, felt warm. We went hiking up on Pigeon Mountain. And so we didn't know exactly where we were going, but we started on a path. And as we were going down that path, not for sure where it led, we continued down that path, and we knew that we couldn't stray off the path. Because if we strayed off the path, we would become lost, possibly not find our way back, and I'm sure that our parents and our families would be looking for us if it was any amount of time. So we knew the importance of staying on that path, because if we didn't, we would become lost. And so all of us are on a path. Every single one of you tonight, myself included, we are on a path tonight. whether it leads to destruction or whether it leads to prosperity. We are on a path that we are taking, and as we are on that path, if we choose not to stay on that path and we choose to get off course, what happens is we become lost in our spiritual walk with God. And so that's what wisdom is trying to bring us back to, and trying to keep us on the path that God has led before us and that God wants for your life. And so I want to show you tonight, real quickly, three ways God's wisdom helps us. Three ways that God's wisdom can help you stay on the path. The first way God's wisdom can help you stay on the path tonight is that knowing that wisdom protects your life. Now look with me over in chapter 2 in this one key verse that we're going to look at. And it is, verse 8. And this is what it says. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserves the ways of his saints. Preserves the way of his saints. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Now, talking about hiking and everything, it wasn't, I guess, but maybe 2 years ago, me and my wife experienced that, and we found out that wisdom literally protects our paths. It protects who we are, protects us. And as we were up at Fort Mountain, man, they have beautiful trails and everything, and they have just all sorts of wildlife that you can view. And as we were on about a 12 mile hike is what we went on. Didn't bring no water, didn't bring nothing with us. And my wife said, honey, don't you think you need to pack some water and some snacks and stuff? I said, nah. I said, we'll be all right, it's just a 12-mile hike, you know. And by the end of it, my wife was up on my back about the last mile and a half, and I was, you know, just carting her around, you know, just trying to, you know, get her to the finish line. But as we were on this hike, and as we were on this path, it's a crazy story. As we were going down, we get about halfway through the woods, just right out of screaming distance if we needed any help. You know, so we're about 6 miles into the deepest part of the woods. And about that time, I look over at my wife, and knowing that we see a lot of wildlife, I say, honey, I said, wouldn't it be horrible if we just seen a big old bear right now? She said, you're an idiot. That's what she told me. I said, it'd be horrible if we just seen a big old black bear right now. There's nothing we could do. I have no protection. I'm wore out. You know, I don't even think I could fight it off if I had any strength in me. And she looks at me and she said, you're an idiot, Kyle. Why'd you say that? You know, scaring her half to death. And so as we were walking on, true, honest to God, true story. As we were walking on, not 10 minutes later, as we were walking down this trail and everything, I walked down, and all of a sudden, we turn around this corner, and as we turn around the corner, we see a little cub bear walking across the trail. It was just this little old, you know, it didn't look much bigger than, you know, a little baby doll, but as it was walking across the trail, immediately, we stop in our tracks. And we said, oh my gosh, what do we need to do? You know, because I know that if I see baby cub walking across the trail, I know one thing, that mama is not too far behind. And as we get down on our knees just kind of watching this cub, freaking out over a little baby cub. And as we were watching it walk across the trail, no joke, I say, well, Heather, maybe we should pray or something. Yeah. And so I'm kind of looking out for mama, you know, I'm sitting here looking everywhere I can, you know, and I'm like, I don't see her nowhere. And I look at Heather and she's going, dear Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, I just pray that you'd help me run just a little bit faster than Kyle, you know. And so we're scared half to death. And the story goes on that we never see mama. Mama is nowhere in sight. And so we watch this little cub go up the holler there. And as it tips over the holler, we kind of stay there for a second. And our hearts finally, you know, started beating again. And so as we were sitting there, we knew ultimately this, that as soon as we seen that cub, It was automatic wisdom said to stop where we were, not to approach anymore, because if mama was somewhere near and we would have approached that baby cub, you know what would have happened? Oh, we would have got mauled like crazy. In fact, I know that I was in trouble because I know I'm carrying a big buffet on the backside of me, and my wife looks like a little piece of asparagus. And there was nothing that I could do. I know that bear was coming straight for me. And so wisdom, what it does is it tells you and helps you out in your spiritual life. Wisdom commands you and directs your path. Wisdom tells you when to stop and when to go. And so what God is trying to tell us here is to stay on the path, not to veer off the path. Because when we veer off the path, we become lost and we can't find our way. And so what does wisdom do? Wisdom protects your life. Psalms chapter 37 and 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Now, what is exactly does "he will give you the desires of your heart" mean? Is it that anything that I want, the desire of my heart wants, does that mean that God will give me exactly what I want? No, that's not what God's saying at all. That's not what he's saying at all. What God is trying to tell us is the things that you once desired after, that when wisdom follows after God, when you are following after God, God will replace your desires with his desires. And when he replaces your desires with his desires, therefore your life stays on the path. So God's wisdom protects your life. So here in verse 8, follow with me once again. He says, "He keepeth the paths of judgment," he says, "and preserves the way of his saints." Now that word "preserve," it's a unique word. It literally means to mark or to keep a close eye on. To mark or to keep a close eye upon. And it literally gives us the idea of what we know of today of being the Kentucky Derby. I don't know if many of you, if anybody watch the Kentucky Derby every year, it's like the most exciting, you know, however, you know, many minutes, you know, that it lasts, they say, in sports. It's the most exciting time in sports during that amount of time. But if you keep up with it, you notice something about the horse. And what it is the horse, everybody on this horse, somebody owns that horse. And what happens is the owner is watching that horse. And so what they do is they place a number on the side of that horse, place a sheet over him, and brand him with a color, you know, on that sheet, and then place a little number on his side so that owner can identify who that horse is and who it's with. And so as the gun goes off and the horse begins to start, that owner is keeping an eye and close eye upon that horse as he goes around the track. And as he sees that horse run around, he sees that horse come all the way to the finish line so that he could keep up with him. And that is the idea of what God does for me and you. God, being the owner of our souls, he has branded us. He has marked us with the blood of Jesus Christ upon our life. And as we are running around the race of life, God keeps his eye on us all the way around until we finish the crossing finish line. And that's what God does for me and you. He never once takes his eye off of us. As we are running the race of life, he keeps his eye on us. As he's got us marked, knows who his children are, protecting us, watching over us until that we finish this course and this life. What a beautiful picture that is of the grace of God in our lives, isn't it? What a beautiful picture that is. Wisdom protects your life. That's what Solomon is trying to tell us here. Being one of the smartest men and the wealthiest men of his day, He says that wisdom protects your life. But also, he says that wisdom directs your future. Wisdom directs your future. And we find that over in chapter 3 in the next key verse that we see. And the next key verse is chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Probably one of the most memorized verses in all of Scripture. Now understand this about Solomon. Solomon was the most wealthiest man during his day and probably the most smartest man, but he would have had none of those things apart from God. Apart from God, he would have been left, not nearly as smart as he could have been, but because of God, God gave him the wisdom that he needed. So he says, wisdom directs your future. Augustine said this. I like this quote. He says, trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to his love, and the future to his providence. Let me say that one more time. Augustine said, trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to his love, and the future to his providence. Now, verse 5 and 6 can literally be summed up with one verse. As verse 5 and 6 says this, follow with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy what? Paths, he says. He shall direct thy paths. And so literally it can be summed up with one verse over in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 33 where he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of your every need. You will need nothing in your life aside from God. God will take care of your every need. Now notice, he doesn't say that he would take care of your every greed, but he that will take care of your every need, he says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, a house to live in, food, water, transportation. God, he says, it shall be added unto you. Those needs that you have, you don't have to worry about them. God will supply your every single need. God will keep his promise. But things just won't be given to us. And we live in a world today where we expect things to be just handed over and given to us. We don't want to work for them no more. We don't want to work for the things. We want things, we want the government, to supply our every need instead of work for what we have. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to be supported by government need. Some folks need, that are on disability, need government help. But the folks that choose not to work, that are healthy, that live off the government, shame on them. Bible says that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And so here we see chapter 2, verse 4. It says this. Solomon speaks. He says, if thou seekest her, referencing her to wisdom. He says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, did you notice that right there? He says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So what is Solomon trying to tell us here? Solomon is trying to tell you that if you want to attain knowledge, if you want to attain wisdom, that you have to search for it like any other human being would search for silver and gold. Now, what's pretty amazing about that is that gold is found where? It's where? Where is gold found? In the ground. Silver is found in the ground. And what happens is Solomon says that if you want to attain wisdom, you want to attain knowledge, just as you have to dig for gold, and just as you have to dig and search for silver, you have to do the very same thing for wisdom and knowledge. It's not going to be handed over to you. You see, you can't go through life expecting things just to be given to you. I hate to bust your bubble tonight. You believe me, I wish that I could have just went through school by just playing a little sports and sitting back at my desk every now and then taking a little snooze. It would have been nice, but that's not the way life works. And so since it's not the way that it works, we have to work for it. We have to work for those things. And so he says literally there that wisdom directs your future. Wisdom protects your life. And the other way God's wisdom can help you, lastly, is that wisdom perfects your walk. Wisdom will perfect your walk. Wisdom not only protects your life, wisdom not only directs your future, because you have the choice whether you want to work for it or not and to attain the very wisdom of God. But he says wisdom perfects your walk. Look with me over in chapter 4, in verse 18, key verse in 18. Chapter 4 and verse 18, Solomon tells us this: "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day." But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Now let me tell you, anybody who is anybody, I don't know if you're like me, and you may not be like my wife, but my wife hates it whenever you flip the light on in the morning. You know, it's like the Shekinah glory shining down all of a sudden when you have slept all night long, it's been dark in that room, and I go, if I want to get on my wife's nerves, that's all I have to do. I can just hit that light switch, and what happens is immediately the light is so bearing upon her eyes and so painful during that time, she can't even hardly bear to stand it. And so she covers her head trying to stay away from the light. But you know what's funny about that? Is that the longer you stay right there and the longer you look around you and see the light, what happens is your eyes adjust and it doesn't become nearly as painful, does it? And so what God does in your life, when wisdom perfects your walk, sometimes God shines his light upon your life in such a way and helps you to see your own sin, and it doesn't feel very good. It doesn't taste very good. In fact, it hurts a lot of times. But just like the light that is switched on, and it hurts there just for a little bit, and your eyes adjust and it fades away, so does the conviction that God lays upon your heart. You see, God will lay it upon your life, and he will convict your heart of sin, but when you stay close to God, your eyes begin to adjust. Your spiritual life begin to adjust, and it don't hurt nearly as bad. And so here, because wisdom perfects your walk, it hurts a little bit sometimes when God shows you the sin. That's why I thank God. I really do. I thank that God steps on my toes every once in a while and reveals to me my own sin and helps me to see where I need perfection in my life. Because without it, I would be destroyed in my spiritual life. Without it, I would stray off the path and become lost in my spiritual life. And if you notice here, I've got a big scar upon my head. This scar happened when I was in second grade. As I was in second grade, my brother and me were running down in my aunt's basement. As we were down in my Aunt Nan's basement, we were running around with the strobe lights flashing on and off. And as I was trying to catch my brother run around in circles and everything, and I was trying to catch him to grab onto him. And as I reached out to grab on his shirt, I latched a hold of it. And when I did, he took a hard right turn and picked me off of my feet, and I landed head first into an old antique desk. Busted my head wide open. Busted it wide open. Blood everywhere. I mean, knocked me out really senseless there for a little bit. I woke up with a puddle of blood around me. On my way to the hospital, and I asked my mom, I said, "Mom, I said, am I gonna die?" I was scared half to death for my life. And now, as we were going to the hospital, I remember my mom sitting there with me, holding my hand. And as the doctor was stitching my head up, I ended up having about 15, 16 stitches in my head. And it didn't feel too good. And now what happened was I carried the scar. And every time I look at that scar, I'm reminded of what happened that day. And so what happens is God allows some scars in your life to help you remember where He has brought you from. To help you to realize that you cannot walk through this life without God. You see, God allows some things in your life. You see, Old Testament farmers, what they would do is if they had a wandering sheep that would go astray, and as they couldn't bring that sheep back, as it would wander away, they would take that sheep and they would break the legs of that sheep where it couldn't walk. And as that sheep couldn't walk around, that shepherd would pick that sheep up and carry it around everywhere that it went. And as the sheep was, as its bone was healing, that shepherd would carry it around everywhere that it would go until it became healed and that bone was healed. And when that shepherd would let that sheep down, that sheep knew to stay close to the shepherd. That sheep knew that that shepherd took care of it. And so, therefore, it had stayed close to its master. Let me tell you that we have a heavenly Father that loves us. And every once in a while, sometimes, God has to break the legs of His own. Because His children stray away sometimes. And as His children strays away, God breaks the legs of His own. But as He breaks the legs of His own, oh, how He picks them up and carries them in His arms of love. And when He lets us back down after that bone is healed, oh, how we stay closer to the Father. How we don't stray away like we used to, but we stay closer and closer to the Father because we know that the Heavenly Shepherd protects us, perfects our walk, and directs our future. And so God does things for us like that to help us to realize that we cannot walk through this life without Him. We just can't do it. No matter how many times we think that we can, no matter how many times that we try, God reminds us every once in a while by allowing some pain and allowing some suffering to come in our life so that we can have a closer walk with the Lord. So God sometimes uses the scars in our life to remind us where we've been and where we are standing now. Solomon has some great thoughts about wisdom. You see, he, even being the smartest man and being the richest man of his time, he knew some great things about wisdom, spiritually speaking. And you may be here tonight, and you may be broken. You may be battered in your life. You may have strayed off the path that God has set for you. You may have wandered away and God has allowed some broken bones to come in your life. All God is trying to tell us tonight is to trust Him. All God wants for your life is that you'll stay close to His side. You see, because God not only wants a relationship with you, but He wants fellowship with you. He wants to be your very best friend. And I tell you this, that if you come tonight, that God will be close to you. That you can be close to God again. Because see, it's not that God strays away from us. It's that we stray away from God. Maybe that's you tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed. As they come, just sing a quick song of invitation. Maybe that's you here tonight. Maybe you have a need tonight. And as they are playing, God says to simply come. Come those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is what God says. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time tonight. God, how the wisdom that you had passed on to Solomon, and as Solomon penned these words down, God, we can see the spiritual wisdom that you want for our lives. God, help us, Lord, with our many friends tonight to stay on the path that you have led before us. Help us to stay on the path, God, that you desire for our lives. God, if there's a need here tonight that has strayed away or got off the path, God, help them to come to you tonight. God, for you are the only answer for our sin problem. Help us in our need tonight, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us? If you have a need, God says to come.